Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Cave Show. This is the one at TLR. Got a lot of good stuff to get into today. Got some cleanup news from yesterday that we'll touch on as well. We are brought to you, as usual, by the one, the only Maduro's Hard Cigar and Tobacco, located at Alma School in Chandler Heights, locally in Chandler, Arizona. Best selection of sticks in the valley. Get here and get 10% off of any cigar purchase that you make. Let them know that PLR sent you, and that's how you get that 10% off. You can become a club member to get a locker that backs up to a humidor. Never ever worry about your sticks going bad. Maduro's Cigar, fine cigar and tobacco, now serving beer and wine. Again, located on Alma School in Chandler Heights in Chandler, Arizona. And like I said, let them know PLR sent you, and they will take 10% off of any cigar purchase that you have. So what do we have to do today to get into it, to clean up some stuff? Manu Ginobili has retired officially. Well, honestly, I thought he had retired a long time ago. He was just playing. But his game had long since retired. OBJ is getting broken off. Aaron Donald still isn't. Khalil Mack still isn't. Donald thinks that you will have less concussions if you play fewer NFL games, preseason games, but more regular season NFL games. Yeah, that's the thinking of one, Jerry Jones. And the U.S. Open has started in New York, and the number one seed is already gone. All those topics and any others you want, please feel free to give a call on the Kerry Lackey Law Line. That number is 917-889-7828, 917-889-7828. Do have a caller online. Appreciate your patience. Appreciate your holding. Welcome to the Cave Show. This is PLR. Who am I speaking to?
Good afternoon, Paul. It's Lou.
Lou, what's up, buddy? How are you?
All right, and first of all, my condolences to your state senator, McCain, who passed away over the weekend.
I'm glad you said that. That was something I was going to get to a little bit later because he was an avid sports fan and a big-time
boxing
fan. And, yep, especially boxing. And he's one of those guys that transcended Democrat, whatever. He was just a good guy. Now, I find it funny. I've seen some of the social media and people taking shots at him. And I'd always say when people take shots at someone who, for the most part, do what we try to do, and that's to lead a good life, I don't think anyone who's taken a shot can say that they've done everything in their life correctly or done everything in their life right. So I think this is one of those times when you hear some of the stories that this guy's done. I'm not talking about just the stories of you know, him being captured, but I've heard stories of, you know, 8-year-olds and 9-year-olds that wrote him letters, you know, that were interested in politics or interested in, and him not writing a letter back, but picking up the phone and calling them back and actually speaking to them. For someone, let's be honest, so for someone who was as accomplished in the political game as he was, and whose family, you know, his wife is ridiculously wealthy, and they come, you know, he's surrounded by a ton of money. For someone to be at that statue and still have the ability to you know, everyone likes to associate and say they're a common man, but to actually get out there and associate with common folk, if you want to call people that, there was probably no one better than John McCain. So, yeah, big loss. Prayers out to his family big time.
And Larry Fitzgerald is going to be speaking at Memorial this week for him.
Yeah, there's some luminary that's going to be there, I guess. Not only Larry Fitzgerald, but President Bush, President Obama are all going to be people who speak at his memorial session this weekend. And so that right there, as you talk about politics and life in general and people who can transcend and reach across and go back and forth and doesn't matter, you're talking about a guy, a gentleman who lost his first bid for presidency to George Bush, lost his other bid for presidency to Barack Obama, yet those are the two people he requests to speak, speak at his funeral. That tells you that he was far above petty and far removed from all the other little things, and just, you know, it was about my idea, your idea. Let's not get in the sewer with all this other nonsense. And that's
right.
Very few people can do that.
Yeah. Okay, switching gears. Is Beckham really worth $95 million?
Yes. You know why? Because he got it.
Because what?
Yes, he is. He is because he got it.
I see.
I'm a big fan of players getting their money, especially if you're one of the top three receivers in the game. Yeah, you deserve to get paid. We pay quarterbacks, and when I say we, not like I'm an NFL owner, but we pay quarterbacks a whole lot of money to be really average. So
right.
Why would the third best receiver or top three receiver or fourth best receiver, where you want to put him in that mix, why should he not get paid as well? We saw what Eli did with him 2 years ago, and we saw what Eli and the Giants did without him last year.
Yeah, nothing.
So he's an incredible football player. He just, you know, yes, he should get paid. I think I told you this. I don't think quarterbacks should count against your salary cap unless they exceed a certain amount of money. There should be a salary cap for the quarterbacks and a salary cap for the team. And if you can keep the quarterbacks, three quarterbacks or two quarterbacks, whatever, in that line, then that's what you pay them. Otherwise, they, you know, that bleeds into your other budget. But yeah, I mean, the top receivers in the game are game changers. Antonio Brown, DeAndre Hopkins, Julio Jones, Odell Beckham Jr. These guys are game changers. They're not just good receivers. We saw last year in a playoff game, Jacksonville royally handing it to Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh came roaring back. You know, obviously they lost, but they came roaring back probably because Ben Roethlisberger could throw up number 84, and 84 would just go get the ball. So you got to have those guys. If you're going to have those guys, you got to pay those guys.
Right, but, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, he deserves to get paid, of course. I just don't think he's worth $95 million.
You know what? If he goes out there and he's performed the way he's performed the last few seasons, heck, well, why not? And then think about this, too. Everyone thinks about just the money that you're paying him for doing a job that he's just doing. Odell Beckham puts butts in seats. Odell Beckham 13 jerseys sell like crazy. People go out, and every time a ball is thrown his way, you stand up and go, ooh, ah. But you're standing up because you're at that game. And if you're at that game, that means you're buying a $13 hot dog and a $19 beer, which all just goes right in the owner's pocket. So, yeah, he's making a lot, but he's bringing a lot to you as well. Look, I use this as the biggest example ever because certain players just transcend everything. And if we switch to basketball just for 1 second, look at what happened to Cleveland's downtown economy when LeBron James left the first time.
Right.
So if they paid him $60 million, would he have been worth it? Yeah. $70
million? Oh, yes.
Yeah. You know, so Michael Jordan should still be getting a piece of Chicago Bulls money because he sold out a stadium that he didn't even play in for 5 years after he left, because those seats were already ordered and, you know, reserved because he played there. So it's all about what you do, not just on the field, but that marketing aspect of it as well. And
yes,
people come to see him play. So, yeah, he deserves every penny.
All right. As you were mentioning, we had our first upset in the U.S. Open tennis yesterday.
Yes. Okay, so maybe you know more about this than me, since you're in that area. Now, I'm not quite sure of the seating, but I'm trying to figure out how, and it's no excuse, she still should be there. She's number one in the world for a reason. So she should be number one. She should be able to handle a number 44th person in a tournament. But if you're the number one seed, shouldn't you really be playing a, I don't want to call a tennis player a bum, but shouldn't you be playing someone who's completely unseeded, like maybe number 128 in the world, 125 in the world?
Yeah, I think that'd be more logical. But then again, that wouldn't be fair to the other player. I mean, you know, it's not like it's an NCAA seeding for college basketball where one plays a 16, which has reportedly beaten now. But
don't you want the number one player for – we just talked about butts and seats and financial reasons. Don't you want her playing week two? Don't you want her playing for more than one round? I mean, no insult to whoever's ranked number 44 and no insult to the person that's probably number 96 is playing today in the first round. But do you know who's the number 96 player in the world? No. You know who's number 44? No. So I'm not saying if they win, they shouldn't go on. I completely agree with that. But the highest-seeded player should be playing the lowest-seeded player at all time, you know, until the draw starts breaking down. I mean, that'd be like saying, okay, well, you know what? Let's play Venus and Serena against each other right now, and let's play Halep against Wozniacki right now so they can knock each other out right now, and we can have some no-names being there. You know, it made no sense to me. But in saying that, if you're number 44 in the world and you go out there and you out player, you deserve to be there and move on. But didn't like the seating on that one.
Yeah, I mean, I never quite figured out how the ranking system works, but I guess you're right. I guess the system does need to be changed a little bit.
Yeah, they got to tweak that one. It's a great tournament, and it's hot as heck, too.
Yeah.
Hot as heck
especially
there right
this
now.
Week.
Great tournament. Yeah. Yeah, great tournament, though. Honestly, a dream of mine, I've covered tennis before out in Palm Springs, and a dream of mine is to cover tennis out in two places, the U.S. Open and to cover tennis at Wimbledon. The Australian Open, I'll pass, and the French Open. It's not bucket list, but if I ever have the opportunity, I'll go for it, but it's not bucket list.
It's not bucket list. Okay, I just assume it was. And
not the French.
Right, okay. But also some good news. The U.S. won the Little League Baseball title this weekend.
Oh, and you know what? Talk about a team, too. Not just about time. But those kids had to think about if this hurricane hits back home, how's my family? What's going to happen to my family? All the way down to the smallest thing, like if we win, can we get back home? Will there be planes flying back to get us back home? I mean, all that on the mind of kids, and for them to go out there and perform the way they did and just find and be just good kids, endearing, just good kids. It was really a pleasure and a joy to watch them play.
Well, triumph over adversity. I mean, sometimes that does help. You know, sometimes it does play into effect. It can go either way. They could be so distracted by it, and like, you know, it'll just, you know, be a blow in the game and they'll lose, or they put that in their minds like, okay, we're suffering through a tragedy, let's do what we can, go out there and win. So it actually goes both ways.
Very true.
That's the way I look
Very
at
true.
It. You could either let it distract you and like, well, we played a horrible game because our mind wasn't on it because we're thinking about our friends and family back home. But you know what? They want us here, so we're going to go out there and give it all we got. And they did.
And they did. Yeah.
They found inner strength.
It's obviously bigger than Little League Baseball. Became a tropical storm, and they didn't get the damage that they thought they would get. And so everything kind of worked out, if you could call it a tropical storm working out. But compared to what was, you know, going to happen, they dodged a bullet on that one.
Yeah. And of course, we go from trying out the tragedy because of the Madden 19 incident happened. I mean, just awful.
It is, and I noticed that they canceled the last three Madden events. And you know, Lou, deep down, I wish they had them. And I'll tell you why I wish they had them.
Because then
you let that guy win, man. You know what I mean? And I hate the fact that he lost life, obviously, and in such a stupid way. But you can't let idiots win. You know, maybe you beef up security, you do other things, but it reminds me a little bit of 9/11. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, trying to fly in too soon. You can't let them win. You don't want them to change your life so much that you can't do things that you enjoy. And I really wish deep down they would have left this and just beefed up security. You know, part of my question too is, how does someone with a gun get in there anyway? How is there not security enough to keep Lou, it's coming down to this. If you ever have any large event, no matter what it is, if it's a pinochle bridge card tournament, if it's going to house a lot of people, you just got to start frisking people and sending them to another place.
Yeah.
It's really just that simple. And I hate to say, you know, I hate to say that. And when I say you don't want to change the way you live, but you got to change the way you allow yourself to live. And, you know, 40 years ago, Lou, friends could leave. We could drop them off at the airport, walk all the way to the gate with them, sit there when they get on the plane, look out the window, wave bye, whatever, and then go, can't do that anymore. It's just the way it is. And for you and I that are older, we remember that when that happened. Now, kids that are, you know, 15, 19, starting to travel, they've never known it to be any other way than it is right now. So to them, it's not a difference. So I remember when you didn't even have to show an ID to fly. You could buy a ticket, and if you weren't going to use it, you could sell it to someone else. They just use your ticket and go.
That's right. But you can't do that now.
So it's just changing, and things change. And if you're going to have something, you can't get into a sporting event without walking through a metal detector anymore. It's just the way it is. So if you're going to have something large, You just got to do it. You got to have it. You got to have metal detectors.
Yeah, you do, even though some people will have a hard time going through it, though.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, look, if you have pacemakers and they check you, if there's something, you know, a pacemaker or something like that, they have ways to check you and make sure that you're, you know, that everything is okay. But you can't let people bring that. Here at Comic-Con in Phoenix, it's no longer called Comic-Con. I forget what they're calling it now because San Diego bought that. But 2 years ago here, a guy dressed up like, you know, some, you know, superhero or whatever, brought a gun in and was planning on shooting up everybody. You just got to check them. There's no other way to say it. You got to check them. So,
yeah,
we can't live with our head in the sand. It's not old school cartoon ostrich time. Got to take the head off.
Yeah, we're not an ostrich.
Nope. So, and in football, Luke, just back there real quick, I see the Rams still haven't signed Aaron Donald. The Raiders still haven't signed Khalil Mack. So,
here's something, though. How do you explain a 5-0 game on Thursday night? My goodness.
Not only the I got one better for you. How do you explain a 5-0 game in football that was the highest rated preseason game in years?
Yeah, I don't get that at all.
I got two words for you, Lou. Hard Knocks. People are watching Hard Knocks. They're watching the Browns. And I'm going to tell you something. I can't believe I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. I poured me a glass full. I really think the Browns are going to be a better team this year. I really think Tyrod Taylor is going to help them.
How many games?
I give them six to seven games.
Wow. Well, it'd be a vast improvement,
really,
of course. I'll give you that, but I don't know about six.
I really
might be a bit much.
I really do. I think they're, and it's not because of the offense. It's because I think their defense is going to help them win six, seven games. I definitely don't think Cincinnati's that good. I definitely don't think the Ravens are that good. Joe Flacco, so their quarterback, right?
Wacko Flacco.
Yeah. So, and Tyrod Taylor, he got Buffalo into the playoffs last year.
Yes.
So, when you stop and think of that, he's a steady influence. He doesn't turn the ball over. They got a decent running game with Hyde, and they got the rookie Chubb. Landry is probably one of the top five, you know, 5-10 wide receivers in the game. If Flash Gordon can stay, I don't want to say healthy, but stay recovered, you're looking at a team with a quarterback that doesn't turn the ball over, two big play wide receivers, and a solid running game, and decent tight ends, and a good defense. I really see them winning six, seven games. And are you ready for this? Are you sitting down? And no, I'm not drinking. I could see them winning possibly more than that.
Well, I suppose it's possible. Then again, I do see, remember, Dallas, who was 1-15 1989, actually going to be 7-9 the following year. And then they made the playoffs the year after that. So I suppose it's possible, but it's kind of rare.
It is very rare. But we know in football, there's always going to be two teams, or one or two teams, that were worst, that will go to first, that didn't make the playoffs, that will. Hell, the Rams before last year, if I would have told you going into last year, we were picking victories by teams, and I would have told you the Rams are going to win 11 games and win their division and make the playoffs, what would you have said to me?
Dream on.
Get off the juice. Stop drinking before you do radio shows.
I never would have.
So
I would have said, no way, not a chance.
Not a chance. There's always that one team.
Well, every year they do have a surprise team win the league, so maybe they're thinking this is, but I still think that they're a work in progress, and it's going to take about maybe 2 or 3 years to get them back to where they want to be.
Back to the Brian Sight days.
Right. Ooh,
yeah.
I should tell my colleague about that. She's a Steelers fan, not a Browns fan. I forgot. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
All right, the dinner bell has rung, Paul, so I must be going, and hopefully I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sounds good, my friend. Have a good day.
Thank you, Paul.
Good friend of the program, Lou. Always good to catch up with him. No, I'm not crazy. I think the Browns are that good, and they're going to be that good. I can't believe I'm saying that. Manu Ginobili has retired. It's official. His game retired 3 years before him, but he has officially retired. He is a first ballot Hall of Fame. He's just waiting for the day he comes available. So now from that San Antonio team, you'll have in the Hall of Fame Pop as coach, Duncan, Parker, 5 years from the day he retires, and Ginobili. What a run they put together. That original big three is gone now. And what's funny is he doesn't get the love that he deserves, partially because of an injury, not injury, but a heart ailment that he had. And just think about it. He almost was a member of the Detroit Pistons. But early on, in the David Robinson days, there was a guy named Sean Elliott that was just a baller that helped San Antonio reach that initial level of the greatness that they ended up, you know, passing on to Ginobili and Parker and Duncan and all that. But with what happened in San Antonio under Pop and those guys, and anxious what the new San Antonio Spurs are going to look like. You know, the anchor now. Obviously, they're going with young guys. Deshaun Murphy, and I know I just hacked his name to smithereens, and LaMarcus Aldridge. You know, and still Pop. Obviously, is still running the show there. And DeMar DeRozan, and you got, you know, some older guys on the team. So curious to see what the Spurs do. And people are really saying, well, what are they going to do now? You know, no Kawhi, no this, no that. Spurs didn't have Kawhi last year. He only played 9 games. We shall see what happens and what's going to go on in the NBA. I listen to, from time to time, a little LA radio listen to different radio stations around the country, just kind of get a pulse of what they're talking about. And two things that are cracking me up about LA, and I'm just kind of sitting back and I'm watching and I'm laughing, so I find it very, very, very humorous. People in LA feel almost insulted when you tell them the Lakers may not make the playoffs. I find that funny because it actually is true. They might not make the playoffs. I find it funny that you have people in LA trying to convince fans to give LeBron a chance. A friend of mine from ESPN, Amin Al-Hassan, calls them Kobe stans that live in the land of Temecula. Listen, it's really just a simple one. To me, I'm still trying to figure out when everyone gets upset and says, "How would you not like LeBron? Could you not like LeBron James on your team? God, what's wrong with you? You know, Genie Buck, if you're not behind LeBron, you're not a Laker fan," all this stuff. Listen, 17-year-olds, 18-year-olds, they don't remember this. But 2008, 9, 10, 11, somewhere in that ballpark, Nike ran an ad commercial. Because when LeBron was in Cleveland, everyone just knew Cleveland was going to clash with the Lakers in the finals. Knew it. LeBron against Kobe, heads up, all the stakes, all the marbles. Kobe lost, and the Lakers lost to Boston 1 year. Then the next year he came back, and they beat Orlando. Then the next year he came back, and he beat Boston again. Every one of those times, LeBron didn't make it there. Kobe held up his end of the bargain. LeBron didn't. And people are going to say, "Oh, well, look at the teams that he played on." Well, yeah, but be that as it may, his team didn't make it there. I mean, you could call it what you want. That's just the truth. So now, for all those years, it was Kobe versus LeBron, Kobe versus LeBron, Kobe and the Lakers versus LeBron. Because you know how anybody likes to pub individuals. So Kobe and the Lakers versus LeBron. So all of a sudden, now, fast forward, just because it lay dormant doesn't mean that the fans forgot about it. So now all of a sudden you're asking Kobe fans that were basically pitted against LeBron and started saying, "Yay, he's one of us. Yay." Let him get there, let time pass, let him win, and then you'll see them come around. But you're not just going to have someone tell you for years, "This is our enemy, this is our moral enemy." Well, he's playing for us now, so you should like him. He's the best in the game. No one's doubting that. But that's not an easy like. Yeah, well, you don't say anything when Kevin Durant went up against Golden State, and then all of a sudden, their teammates and everything is fine. There weren't commercials and there weren't ads leading you to believe that in the NBA Finals, which Golden State and OKC could never play anyway, that it was Steph against KD. And there was this battle against Steph and KD. It was like that battle, a pure ad battle. It wasn't fun, it wasn't just, but there was a pure ad battle. And you know what fans are? Right, fanatical. So you already knew what you were promoting. So I find that funny that all of a sudden people in LA are just supposed to embrace LeBron. Thanks for joining us today. This is The Cave Show. This is PLR. Make sure you're following us on social media at The Sports Cave on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook fan page. You can also get us at thesportscave.com. Remember, Cave is always with the K on everything. You can get me directly at PLR on Sports. And that's on Twitter. Until tomorrow, thank you for hanging with us. Appreciate you as usual. Appreciate Lou giving a call in. And all calls that are made and made on the Kelly Life You Are Live. Until then, this is PLR. Everyone have a great day. Take care and enjoy your Tuesday.